as the Lord shall be pleased to help me, I shall call your attention again to the morning subject. First Epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 2, and the 12th verse. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Chapter 2, verse 12, First Epistle to the Corinthians. It is a wonderful consideration that if you and I are taught of God, then he who has taught us and led us into his truth, be it little or much which he has made known to us, he is the author of the word of God in its entirety, and it is his prerogative alone to lead poor sinners into the things of God and make them to be blessed realities in their soul's experience. And the greatest mercy you and I can realize in journeying on through life is to be able to adopt this language, and out of the abundance of the heart for the mouth to speak. The Apostle Paul was addressing the godly Corinthians, and he declared to them, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God." Oh, that little word, we. Two letters, yet in that little word of two letters, there is a number which no man can number, saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation, people of every kindred, tribe, and tongue, and they have their lives governed by the Spirit which is of God. In looking at the subject from another viewpoint or two, I want to ask the Lord to help me to show you some of the things that are freely given to us of God. And the emphasis, you must remember, is on the word freely given. You cannot earn, nor merit, nor buy an interest in the things of God. It is that which is made known by revelation, and that revelation is governed by the sovereignty of God. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy. And sometimes you will be amazed as you're helped to look round the world at large with all its mighty mass of mankind, and to think that God has singled out you, that you should know just a little of the Spirit which is of God. It may be you cannot speak much about what you do know of it, But there is just a little, blessed be God, that is known and felt. And there, I would make a comment to encourage some of you. And now, in the chapter I read in John's Gospel as the lesson, the Savior said to his disciples concerning the Spirit of God, speaking of him as the Spirit of truth, and he says, the world knoweth him not, but ye know him. And now I will tell you what worked in my subconscious mind as I read that word to you. Another scripture came alongside it, and they all forsook him and fled. Then it is very evident the knowledge they possessed, while it was of the Spirit which is of God, it was but a very little. Oh, those 11 disciples of a truth were disciples. But, dear friends, the word disciple, as you all know, means learner. Learner from this viewpoint. And they sit down at thy feet, and every one shall receive of thy words. And you and I, although some of us have followed on to know the Lord, year in, year out, much of our lifetime, yet we find the hymn writer's words are very solemnly true concerning us. When my faith is sharply tried, I find myself a learner yet, unskillful, weak, and apt to slide. And now, it might help you to take courage when it may be you are tempted and tried, because if you do know anything of the Spirit which is of God, it is such a very little. Yet so it was with those disciples. It was indeed a very little, but that little was real. And there is this to encourage you. 'Tis grace that makes men feel their need and cry to God for more. And remember what you sing sometimes. And that is a word which you should never let go. The scripture on which it is built is, the desire of the righteous shall be granted. The soul that with sincere desires seeks after Jesus' love, that soul the Holy Ghost inspires with breathings from above. It is that which the Spirit which is of God alone can enable you to feel in your soul's exercises. And then there is just another viewpoint. I'm trying to help you to be like Manoah's wife when she said, if the Lord were pleased to kill us, would he have shown us all these things? And now remember this word, which I told you in the morning sermon, was indeed a foundation truth. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And now, do you, let your conscience tell you the truth, do you receive the things of the Spirit of God? Is it your concern, as you gather together to worship God, like you have been singing in the hymn before the sermon began. Show me some token, Lord, for good, some token of thy special love. Show me that I am born of God and that my treasure is above. This will be your great concern if you're interested in the things of the Spirit of God. You will find in your heart an aching void which this world cannot fill. Whatever could be offered you from the world at large, compared with a token for good, some sure evidence, unfailing, that you are numbered with the people of God, put on the other side of the scale, would weigh it down. Yes, and you would say with the hymn writer, let others after earth aspire, Christ is the treasure I desire. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. And now to summarize that viewpoint of the subject, which I said just a little about in the morning sermon, it means that your great concern is not to live for this world, but that which is to come. And now that needs thinking about, but it must be deep down in your heart, a concern like that. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Yes, to be to this world as dead, alive to that which is to come. And now there is another viewpoint of this subject I want to make a comment on. Then I will open it up as my mind runs to do. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. In the following chapter, do listen, there is a statement like this: for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world, or life, or death, or things present, or things to come, all are yours. And ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's. Dear friends, there is one great thing I want you to remember as long as you live. Whenever you read that beautiful scripture, it is an amazing consideration for poor sinners born again to contemplate, for all things are yours. But while it does say all things, there is one thing that is not yours. Do remember that, and that is yourself. The Word of God makes that plain. It is no contradiction. All things are yours, except yourself. What saith the Scripture as we look at it? What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you? Is not that equivalent to our subject, the Spirit which is of God, which ye have of God? Listen, ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Ye belong to the Lord Christ. Ye serve the Lord Christ, the Word of God tells us. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. And that will make you concerned as you journey on. Like the hymn writer words it, this prayer and this ambition mine, living and dying to be thine. And now I come to the things that are freely given to us of God. And do mark that word again, freely given. John says in his gospel, of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. And that is a great mercy. If any of us under Union Chapel roof have received of that infinite fullness which is treasured up in Jesus Christ as the church's living head. The things that are freely given to us of God. And now, one of the earliest things which is given to us is a gracious illumination. I have told you sometimes that a godly man or woman, youth or maid, is lighted up inside. And that light comes from the light of the world. I have told you in the Hebrews epistle how the Apostle Paul argues there when they should call to remembrance the former days, and he goes on, as it were, to say, and begin here, after ye were illuminated. And now, that is the starting point. As you read in the Word of God itself, it is actually set before us in how the Word of God begins. And you all know how it does begin. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. The entrance of thy word giveth light. In thy light shall we see light. In darkness born I went astray, and wandered from the gospel way, and since the Saviour gave me sight, I cannot see without his light. And now, that is one of these things that are freely given to us of God. A gracious illumination. And then, I can only give you hints, because these things are in the plural, and they are indeed many to contemplate. Do weigh this matter up as to whether this thing has been freely given to you. Not only what I have just hinted at, illumination from him who is the light of the world, but a good hope through grace. Oh, how wonderful that is to be the subject of it. You are not here, many of you, in the attitude of worship, without God and without hope. You can go back over the way that you hope God has led you, and discern when hope was born in your breast, hope in God, which has been maintained, not always at the same level, No, but it is a reality, and it was hope that brought you up to worship God at this time. I seek and hope to find a portion for my soul. And now the Apostle Paul said to the godly Romans, we are saved by hope. I know it is very tried at times, and you find some who possessed a wonderful hope, indeed a thrice comfortable hope, as the hymn writer describes it. Yet they went down to a very low level. I like to think of both Job and Jeremiah there. And Job said, as for my hope, who shall see it? My hope hath he removed like a tree. And a little while before, he said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. There you see the fluctuations in our soul's experience. Yet the things of God remain a reality. And Jeremiah said, my hope is perished from the Lord. As to any happiness I feel at the present time, in the possession of it, in my soul's experience. And yet it was a hope that God was the author of. And it sprang up again. And so it will with every one who is taught of God. And it never sinks down lower than this. Who can tell but what God will be gracious unto me? Though by my sins deserving hell, are not despair, for who can tell? And now hope then, good hope through grace, is one of these things that are freely given to us of God. Then another thing is what is termed the spirit of adoption. And that is a beautiful experience when God is pleased to communicate it to you. The spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Did you ever at any time say, and in saying it, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth could speak, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I know there was one occasion in my life when I said it like that, and I should like to have repeated experiences of it. It is not to be taken on our lips lightly, but when you realize the Spirit which is of God enlivening you, it is good to realize this spirit of adoption. And until you do realize it, it is good to continue to plead, My God, my Father, blissful name, O may I call thee mine, may I with sweet assurance claim a portion so divine. Your heavenly Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. The things that are freely given to us of God. And now, another thing, an all-important thing, some of you would be so glad to have it wrought in your soul's experience, and that is the forgiveness of sins. Oh, you cannot treat that matter lightly. It is a matter of supreme importance in your soul's experience. It will bring you to what I might say to the peak of your soul's experience, when you can see Jesus and see in him all your salvation and all your desire. When you can hear his word I will be merciful to your unrighteousness. Your sins and your iniquities I will remember no more. Through this man there is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. It seems amazing, and yet we dare not make any comment on it as to why it should be. Only in the sovereignty of God it is allowed to be. The great majority of people taught of God nowadays go on in life's journey concerned to know the forgiveness of sins, and yet often do not get what their souls desire until they come to the end of life's journey and go down into Jordan's swelling. But there may be some lessons to be learned in God allowing this so to be. But it is a matter you and I would do well to be urgent about. Through this man there is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, it is a wondrous mercy to be the subject of forgiveness of sins. To see Jesus and to be able to feel, for me, oh miracle of grace, for me the Saviour bled, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Then there is another thing which is all important, and that is the righteousness of God, which is by faith in Jesus Christ. Imputed righteousness, which means the efficacy and the virtue and the value of the life that Jesus lived when he was made of a woman, made under the law, and that he lived that life on your behalf, that you might have a righteousness wherein to appear before God and be made meet for the inheritance of the saints in light. Oh, that is indeed one of the things that are freely given to us of God. But it is a blessed experience, and you cannot meet with many folk nowadays, though you believe they are indeed following on to know the Lord, who can speak with definite authority about the righteousness of God as being the robe which they have been clothed with by the Spirit of God. And yet you and I must be clothed in it ere we die, or we shall be lost. You cannot get through the gates of pearl without it. No. Righteousness imputed. Lest the shadow of a spot should on my soul be found, he took the robe the Saviour wrought and spread it all around. Then there is another thing freely given to us of God. And maybe you can come in here, quite a few of you, an interest in the covenant of grace. You may say, I should like to be sure I had an interest in the covenant of grace. But how can I be sure? How can I know beyond all questioning such a favor is for me, such a poor sinner as I feel to be? And now, the covenant of grace is declared to be ordered in all things and sure. And now, as you look back over life's journey and remember the way God has led you. It may be you have indeed come through many changing scenes and many things of which the memory thereof might cause you to feel sad in thinking about it. And yet you can see that in the way that God has led you, all these things have dovetailed in, and that you cannot leave out any of these things as you watch the working out of these things. You find there is an underlying providence that wisely marshals every circumstance, and you see that these things, as I have said, dovetail in, and the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Think how often, maybe in earlier years, you have had to say, I was brought low, but he helped me. Yes. And you were never brought low without sooner or later the help was forthcoming. You were not allowed in any trouble to sink, to rise no more. And that is one of the things freely given to us of God, an interest in the covenant of grace. And when you can enter into it, you can realize what the psalmist said. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. He will show them his covenant. The margin reading is beautiful. He will make them to know his covenant. That is to say, he will make them know that they're in it. Shut up in it. Interested in it. So when you remember the way God has led you and see his goodness and mercy and think of the waymarks and the high heaps you have raised, these are the things freely given to us of God. And you could not know these things only as you are the subject of the Spirit which is of God. Then another thing freely given to us of God, and maybe some of you will come in here, I would like to bring in as many of you as I can, but I have to leave that really between the Lord and you. The preacher can only draw a bow at a venture. And now, if you were such a character as is set forth in our subject, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. One thing you will know is that you are made welcome at the gospel table. And whenever the gospel is preached, and you are there to hear it, you will be listening with a concern to get good for your soul, and you get it. Not in every sermon, it may be, but even if you should go on your way and say, there has been nothing for me under the gospel this Sabbath day, and that tries you, even in that very fact that it tries you, there is evidence that you are wrought upon by the Spirit which is of God. Because it is not what you are by nature that feels disappointed when you seem to get nothing special in the worship of God. It is what you are by the grace of God. It is as you're actuated by the Spirit which is of God. And dear friends, I'm not making any reflections on any of you in what I'm going to say, but I am going to say it would be a wonderful mercy if you came up to worship God every time concerned to get some good for your soul and to hear what God the Lord would say in the proclamation of the gospel. And maybe if you paid more attention to what is said in the gospel, as the preacher has helped to set it forth, you might get more good for your soul than you have already obtained. And by that statement I mean, if you reduce to practice what you hear, especially when you hear such words as, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." Remember that. You must admit, you have been made welcome at the gospel table. Oh, there have been times when you have felt, "Lord, it is good for us to be here." You have found there was room made for you in the sermon, and you could come in here a little, there a little, and feel the watchmen that go about the city, they found me. And I have told you, and you must remember what I tell you, the watchmen going round about the city of God, go round about it on the inside. And if they find you, you are inside the city walls. You are an inhabitant of Zion. And that is a mercy to prize. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. And if you were to weigh these things up more than you do, say when you got home, if you could in a little leisure time sit down before God and call to remembrance what the gospel has been made to you as you have listened to it, you're in and you're out. And if sometimes you have marked in the Holy Bible that you use this text and that you have heard one preacher and another preach from, where you got a little help, you would find in weighing that matter up before God, you have got a much better religion than you often feel you have, or the devil wants you to believe that you possess. Do remember that. The things that are freely given to us of God. And now there is one thing, and oh how essential it is. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Oh how many times you have said, you cannot begin to reckon them up, "Assure my conscience of her part in thee, Redeemer's blood, and bear the witness with my heart that I am born of God." And you have had that witness again and again and again. But you still want to be confirmed in your soul about it. And that is the meaning of that scripture, "Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord." There is no place along life's way where you can settle down, as it were, and take things for granted. No. What do you sing? All through the wilderness below, good hope expects more good to know, and thus is kept alive the soul. Yes. They shall ask the way to Zion with their faces thitherward. And the Saviour said, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Then another thing given to us, although it may be, I shall hardly be able to get you to believe it, but the Lord can make you believe it, and that is grace to help in time of need. And now, you may often feel and be troubled as to how little grace you seem to possess. Maybe your judgment about the amount of grace you possess is not to be depended on. The hymn writer said, "Marks of grace I cannot show. All polluted is my breast, yet I weary am I no, and the weary long for rest." But then God has guaranteed this: "My grace is sufficient for thee." Sufficient. You and I have got to learn what that word sufficient means. And it really means this: as thy days, so shall thy strength be, so that you will never have tomorrow's grace feelingly in reserve in your soul's experience today, but it will not be until tomorrow dawns that tomorrow's grace will be made sufficient for you. Here a little, there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept. And if you look at some of the scriptures in the Word of God, you will be surprised, it may be, if you ponder this matter about grace and grace being sufficient. How about this word of the Apostle Paul's? "As dying, and behold, we live." And Joseph Hart's view of it: "Ever sinking, yet to swim." You saying, "Can these dry bones live?" And yet they do. "And he which hath begun the good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." Yes, this is one of the things that are freely given to us of God: grace to help in time of need. Yet maybe sometimes you wake in the morn and think of the day and what it holds in store, and you wonder how you will be able to face the duties and difficulties awaiting you therein, and you feel you can hardly do it, and yet you will do it. "Ever on thy captain calling, make thy worst condition known. He shall hold thee up when falling, or shall lift thee up when down." Another thing, and I must soon come to the amen, another thing freely given to us of God is submission to the will of God. And that is much to be prized. You see, our will is very turbulent. There is that about us that we want our own way. But you know, everywhere you go now, you see a notice: "Give way!" That is just what you've got to do in living the life of the righteous. "It is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps." When God speaks to you, "This is the way, walk ye in it," you must give way to whatever you have thought you would be or do. And remember, Jesus Christ says to each disciple, "Follow me. This is the way, walk ye in it." Yes, and that is one of the things freely given to us of God, to have sometimes sweet submission to his will, and to be able to say, "Thy way, not mine, O Lord. However dark it be, lead me by thy own hand. Choose thou my way for me." Then there is just this thought: among the things that are freely given to us of God is deliverance in every trouble that may befall us as we journey on. The deliverance may be delayed, but it will never be denied. The word of God is sure. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. The things that are freely given to us of God. And you look back over the way you have come along. Did ever trouble yet befall and God refuse to hear thy call? You have got your waymarks, your Ebenezers, your high heaps raised. Where trouble like a gloomy cloud gathered thick and thundered loud. And now there is just one more thing which I must name. The things that are freely given to us of God. And now that is peace with God. The peace of God which passeth all understanding, possessing our hearts and minds. And that peace is especially known when all who are taught of God come down to die. And none who are taught of God will miss that peace. And it is beyond words to describe. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Oh, how many petitions people taught of God have sent up concerning that day which is to come inevitably, a dying day. And they are all registered in heaven. And when your dying day dawns, then the answer to those manifold petitions will come. And you will realize as you go down into Jordan swelling this wondrous peace. For that is one of the things guaranteed to us. One of the things freely given to us of God. Mark the perfect man. Behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Oh, my dear friends, young and old, the Lord grant that you and I may have this religion set forth in our subject, for this religion alone will help us to live right and at the last to die right. Amen.